Well, it's about 7 o'clock here in California, 10 o'clock over there in Tennessee at the Berkeley Marathons. They started at 3 a.m., so I guess they're about 19 hours. They're definitely in the darkness. Bakersfield gets about 5 inches of rain. Berkeley will probably get 5 inches of rain. Saw a report from Ray Kay saying that the storms are finally ending there. When I get back in, I'll be doing a more of an update. But yeah, it's nice and sunny here. But we got clouds, so it's kind of entertaining that Bakersfield has got some moisture. When I did a 13-hour update, Jamil, Curry, and Courtney had came in about the same time on lap one or loop one and headed out together on loop two with a couple other women. I think Maggie Guderall was with them, and one other lady. And then I saw a report that they were both going up, I think, Rat Jaw together. So good to hear, because Jamil has been out there many, many times, so he definitely knows the course. Jamil's from Phoenix, which is a lot like Bakersfield. Dirt and hot, rocky. And so the East Coast trails definitely got to be crazy for him. According to being from Colorado, she's used to big, long climbs in dry conditions as well compared to Tennessee. I used to live back east when I was a kid in Georgia. Suburbs of Georgia, I used to live in apartments like I'm walking by right now. And, you know, if I was this far behind the apartments in Georgia, it was full on woods. Spin around three times, you wouldn't know where you were. And that's kind of, I always laugh at my West Coast friends because they never know where they are. I grew up back east where we'd go out mountain biking and we had to know, well, actually wasn't BMXing, and we had to know how to get back because there was some dense woods, and that Tennessee frozen head is some definitely crazy dense woods. So good to hear they're together. Hopefully they stay together. Be great to see Jamil finally get a finish, and for Courtney to be the first woman to finish Berkeley. Besides navigation and the crazy terrain of Berkeley, you got to deal with sleep deprivation. That's the biggest thing. You know, you're going to be out there for 60 hours and you got to know how to stay awake. And the good thing is, you know, they started it, the conch shell blew at 2 a.m. So that means you're just kind of laying around waiting for the damn thing to go. And then the race started at 3 a.m. So they're out there all night during the witching hour. And now it's dark again, 10 o'clock for them. We all know Courtney is amazing with sleep deprivation. Obviously the big backyard races, but also when she did Moab 230, you know, she supposedly slept for a couple minute nap and went on and crushed that race. And she's, I've seen at Tahoe 200, her and Jamil both ran really well there. I've spent quite a lot of time with Jamil at Across the Years and various other races. He's a race director, putting in massive hours. And I've seen Jamil sleeping at laptops very often because he can fall asleep at a drop of a dime. But then he can also get up and BRD and all that. So hopefully he has some kind of break and rest so he didn't come into this race so sleep deprived, because I know he's talked about that in the past, just digging a big hole because he's so busy. So both of them will be out there in the dark looking for the books. And I'm sure they probably will finish up the second loop pretty soon and then be heading out for that third loop. Back from my evening miles, and it is about 10:30 there, hour 20 of the Berkeley Marathons. They obviously haven't finished loop two yet. Loop one, so it's taken them 10 or 11 hours. So probably in another hour or two, they will finish up. Started at 3 a.m. their time, so they went through one night, and now they're back out there in another night. Keith Dunn has been tweeting quite a bit, and I really love his coverage, considering that there's not a lot of internet. I highly recommend following on Instagram the various athletes, and Howie Stern is out there taking photos. In fact, I follow him on Strava, and he's been putting in the miles on Strava, running back and forth from place to place. So Ryan King DNF'd at loop one and is tapped out. And that was at 12:47. Then Ron Moore also DNF'd and has tapped out. And Andy Pearson has begun loop two. And if you keep going along here, number of people starting the loop two. This one here is kind of a hard break. Sounds like me, because I'm always missing cutoffs. Jake Rackerton finished loop one just under the 13:40 cutoff and did not have time to begin loop two within the time limit. There are 16 runners on loop two. Everyone else is DNF'd. So 16. Then 4 hours ago,
It said that the rain had returned. As I said, I follow Ray Kolitz, who's an East Coast runner, I believe from South Carolina. And he showed a radar thing, and he said there looked like there's one more front, and then possibly they would get some reprieve from these wet conditions. I know Jamil, being from Phoenix, he doesn't deal with rain very much, and Courtney probably deals with snow, but not rain, mud, and just the dense foliage. I just can't imagine. I would just not want to do it whatsoever. Also, 4 hours ago, Keith reported that Maggie, Liz, Courtney, and Jamil have passed the fire tower on Loop 2. So congratulations on getting to that. Tano Islo quit in the middle of Loop 2 and has tapped out. 15 runners remain in the race. Wonder how you get back to the, I guess you just have to hike back because there's obviously not any other way to get back. He also said that 9 runners remain on Loop 1. Frank Gonzalez quit on Loop 2 and has tapped out. And Frank said, I knew I was going to fail. I just didn't think it would be so early. 14 runners remain in the race. That probably is a little old there kind of thing. Karen McNary finished Loop well over the time limit, has tapped out. 8 runners remain on Loop 1 and 14 runners are on Loop 2. Oh, so she already missed the cutoff, and there's still 8 more people out there. Like they said earlier, there's a lot of newbies out there, a lot of virgins out there, and so obviously they're having a little bit harder time. Speaking of that, it says here another update. This was just 37 minutes ago. Annie Pearson, Ian Ferris, and Harold Zundel have quit on Loop 2. Shortly thereafter, Hiram Rogers came in with the remaining 4 other Loop 1 runners. Davey had to play taps 8 times. No runners remain on Loop 1. 11 remain on Loop 2. Boy, that guy's getting some workouts. Almost want to have like a boombox. Then 33 minutes ago, so that would be at about 10 p.m., they report that it sucks. Temperatures dropping and the rain that is not supposed to be here doesn't seem to want to stop. You know, they call it frozen head for, don't call it frozen head for nothing. And I can't imagine being out there in the freezing cold late at night. I'm definitely a desert rat and I like it dry. Ultra Running History is a great website and great podcast, and they have been tweeting out various little tidbits about the history of the Barkley area and Frozen Head. Of course, the race was inspired by James Earl Ray's trying to escape, and it says here, James Earl Ray's thoughts after 54 and a half hours on the future Barkley course. There's wilderness out there. I must have been in places that no human being has ever been. There's heavy brush up there and things like that. And I can attest to that. Like I was talking earlier, when I lived in Georgia and I was in Atlanta, and I just couldn't believe the dense forest. You just don't understand it if you've never lived back east. Of course, my sons have lived here in California. They hardly know what a tree is. I guess James Earl Ray actually tried to escape from the place 4 times, and twice using dummies similar to escape from Alcatraz. The Barkley's Ratjaw portion runs by mine ruins on Frozen Head. For more than 100 years, prisoners were forced to work in these coal mines. Wow, first you're in prison, then you go work in a coal mine. In the mine on the Barkley course in 1933, 882 inmates barricaded themselves in a tunnel protesting prison. Treatment, reaction, so this is 1933, was we'll starve them out. Later's day, they came out, flogging occurred, their leader was falsely declared insane. And then there's been other kind of break-ins. 1957, 116 inmates took hostage of 4 foremen in the mine, lasted for 32 hours. 11 dynamite booby traps were left behind. 8 ringleaders were flogged, and so much other things. It also says here, Barkley runs through a brushy mountain prison surrounded by mountains called the Third Wall. Many people have tried to escape by going over the mountain, and that did not fare well for most of them. Barkley runners now run on the brushy mountain prison grounds, home of extreme violence for more than 100 years. Used to be a disease-filled wooden 4-story structure, and they actually run in a tunnel underneath it, if you watch the documentary. And it's funny, my wife of 30-plus years, who's known me, and I've been training and running since 1979 for 40-plus years, she hardly knows very much about much endurance sports. She does like watching mountain climbing documentaries, so do I, though neither of us would ever go near a mountain because we're not into snow and cold. But she does know about the Barkley's Marathon. She watched it, was very fascinated, and I think most people are. And it also says here, the Brushy Mountain Prison Cemetery the Barkley runners go by has 400 prisoner bodies buried there. Thus far, we don't think any Barkley runners have ended up there. So that's my report. Like I said, it is 10:40 p.m. on the East Coast there in Tennessee and Frozen Head. There's just a few runners out there now on Loop 2. They're probably finishing up Loop 2 in the next couple hours. And if I haven't gone to sleep yet, I will definitely do a report. Thank you guys all for listening. Please hit subscribe if you can. I'd love to get the support. I'm trying to get to that 1,000. So, you know, YouTube, you know, they used to not put ads on people who were not monetized, meaning don't have 1,000 subscribers, but now they put ads on to the videos, even though I'm not monetized. And I'm like, I always say, you know, if I can get monetized, that'd be great. You know, I'm going to spend the money on my, on endurance sports, traveling to races, buying equipment. In fact, I just did a video about some new ultras I got off of eBay today. So as always, stay healthy, be boring, not epic.